this time that we have, we will be looking at a passage in Galatians chapter 5. But first, just in the way of preparation for this, going to read a passage that many of us know so well. And if you don't know this passage, you'll listen to it, and I think that it will wow you. It's the end of Romans chapter 8, so listen carefully. It says this, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And then something that gives us an awful lot of assurance for our salvation. It then says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the love of Christ. We'll never be separated from that. Just a little family history concerning Marge and I. We will celebrate our 51st wedding anniversary next Saturday. Isn't that something? Okay. So you think about love. Marge and I may not remember the time that we actually met each other for the first time, but we were 5 years old. We were in Sunday school. And we started to go to Sunday school, and I'm sure that we were not really the best of buddies at that point in time, or in elementary school, maybe not even in junior high, but we started to, you know, be part of not only Sunday school, but Vacation Bible School and the youth group, and then we were friends, and I liked Marge, but she will also say I liked other girls, and then that's very shameful when you talk to her. Listen to me, and I'll set you straight. But nonetheless, when we were juniors in high school in 1967, we started to go together. Been married 51 years. We had a long engagement. There was a song that came out late in the 60s, and I wrote the words to this on a Valentine's Day card that I gave her this year. And the song began. I don't remember what day it was. I don't remember the time it was. All I know is I fell in love with you. And if all, you know, like everything is true, I want to spend all my days with you. That song really kind of put it in a nutshell for me. And that's true. 1980. Dates are pretty important to me, by the way, being a history major. That was the day where I responded to the gospel. The love of Christ came into my life, and what a changed person I was, even after 8 years of marriage to Marge. And she was wondering, what's this change all about? I knew who I loved, and you're saying you're a new man. Praise the Lord. 2 months later, she trusted the Lord. You know, like, what a sweet life we have had. Even when we look back to times when we may have been in darkness. We were in darkness. But how blessed it is to have a Christian marriage, just like George said, concerning his daughter. And marriage and love is not necessarily the ball and chain that people in the world may refer to marriage as. When we think of the love that Christ has for us and the way that we live our life because we belong to him, that's not slavery. That's not a ball and chain. We have read this morning this passage in Romans that love, Christ's love, does not cause separation. We'll never be separated from him. And the whole purpose of this message now, as we take a look at a passage in Galatians, is when we walk by the Spirit, those that are believers in Christ, just follow this slavery. That is not slavery. Walking with the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, actually is freedom. Thinking in the example I mentioned about March, because we love each other, I don't remember ever she giving me a list of rules for me to follow to demonstrate my love for her. Maybe she should have. And that way I would stay out of trouble, you know. But she never gave me a list of rules. If you do this, and you do this, and you do that, and you stay away from doing this, then you have proved how much you love me. She doesn't do that. And even as we take a look at this passage, you know, like when we follow a list of rules and regulations, when we want to follow a law, it's the law that enslaves us. But the Lord Jesus, having become his children, he gives us his Holy Spirit. And it's all about grace. The things that we do in our lives now are out of our love for him. We know how much he loves us. Don't we know that? Everywhere we turn, in the Gospels, we see remembrances how much he loves us. That passage in Romans, what's going to separate us from his love? Herein is love. It's not that we loved him, but he loved us. It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. So in Galatians 5, another simple verse that many of us have memorized and know would be verse 16. You can say it with me as I read the verse or recite the verse. Let's hear how many of us in either English or Spanish know verse 16. On three. One, two, three. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not glorify the lust of the flesh. Okay, you've heard that verse before. So now I want you to think, almost 2,000 years ago, when that verse was recorded in an epistle that was sent to the Galatian church. How would they have thought about that verse? Now, this is sanctified imagination, because we were not there. But when you think about that culture, many of these people, they had come out of idolatry, paganism, the worship of other gods, statues, a lot of horrible idolatry. That's the time and place that this letter first was sent, you know, like to. Can you imagine them shaking their head and scratching their head and said, my goodness, walk by the Spirit. What kind of God do we have who allows us and expects us to walk with his Spirit? How do you interpret that particular verse? You know, how do you walk with or by the Spirit each day since you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Another part of that verse says this, the second part, well, certainly if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify or satisfy the desires of the flesh. So let's just look at that last word. What is the flesh? And what does that look like? So I have an example. I have a picture to illustrate what the flesh looks like. Because I know you want to see what the flesh looks like, right? How many people would like to see what the flesh looks like? Here it is. All of us could stand up and show yourself to one another. That is the flesh. Our mind, our hands, our feet, where we take ourselves. The heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, it says in Jeremiah. We are the flesh. Any one of us, no matter what nationality, culture, place that we grew up in, we are the flesh. And when we think of ourselves, and when we think about the desires that we have, we are just like the people at the time that this letter was written. We have desires that we want to satisfy, and particularly in the good old United States, in this day and time, everybody is looking to satisfy our own desires. We want things now, and we want things our own way. And not only do we want things our own way, a lot of the things that we want really are not godly desires, are they? You know, like I asked earlier for you to examine your heart. And when you think about things that come into your mind and flood your soul, we would have to admit, as we saw this morning, you know, if we say we have not sinned, we lie. The truth is not in us. We know that there is all sorts of wickedness that we can conjure up at a moment's notice. You know, we see one another as we walk in and we take a look at what people are wearing and how they are acting. And in our mind and in our hearts, maybe we start mentally judging one another. You know, we may not say it because that would not be very, very nice, but we have thoughts that are not right. We watch things that we shouldn't watch. We go places that we shouldn't go. You know, like all that. We could take a look at a description of what the fleshly desires are all about. But we see that there is a constant battle that we are engaged in. Because we are flesh, but we have been given the Holy Spirit, otherwise this passage would make total nonsense to us. How come you walk by the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit? Well, first of all, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have the Spirit. So you are still enslaved to sinful desires. But right now, having come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and having been forgiven of your sins, there are some choices that we make. We can walk by the Spirit, and if we do that, we won't gratify the desires of the flesh, but we do realize that every day we are involved in combat. There are landmines all around us. There are booby traps that have been set before us. And the whole thing is, we, just like a moth might be attracted to a light or the candle, we find ourselves that we have trained ourselves for so long to go places that we shouldn't go, think things that we shouldn't think, and try to gratify and satisfy the sinful desires of the flesh. You know, do I look so sinful? Maybe someone says, well, yeah, you do, actually. But the whole thing is, when we look at one another, we don't see what's in our hearts, each other's hearts. We don't see what's in each other's minds. We don't know what's going on. But there is someone who really knows what's going on in our life all the time. All the time. It's given to us a Holy Spirit to guide us, to love us, to care for us. He knows. He knows. And the thing is, we're not enslaved by what God knows. Verse 17, and I mentioned that we look at that, it says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. It's against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now, this is where someone would say, well, you want to know something? I want to walk in the light. Well, if that's our desire, well, then guess what? The flesh is trying to keep you from walking in the light. Earlier we said, keep that light on. If you start going in the darkness, you better confess it and turn that light back on. So if you really, 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 really want to walk in the light, if you really want to have the desire to walk with the Spirit, just remember that every step of the way, you are under attack. You are under attack, and the enemy of God's, Satan, is really trying to make a disaster out of each and every one of us. He's trying to attack and make a disaster of marriages. He wants you to crash and burn. He wants you to really embarrass not only yourself, but the great God that loves you. That's what he wants to really do. And someone will say, but you know something? There are certain things that I enjoy, and I really want to do it, and I don't really see the harm in doing them. You know, like, I'm not really trying to go down that particular path today, but I would say that there are desires that the flesh have that will enslave you, and you don't know how to break away. But the real point of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and having been given the Holy Spirit is certainly not to enslave you. My marriage, or any marriage for that sake, is really not designed for slavery. I don't look at 51 years of marriage and time before that with Marge as having been enslaved. There was a time where, out of love for each other, we live our life in a certain way where there's freedom. I don't feel enslaved. And for those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's love does not enslave you. What happens as you live your life and as you walk with the Spirit is you're doing now what God has created you for. Going on back to Genesis, you know, like, he created you for fellowship with him, for enjoyment, for blessing. When you give yourself on over to the darkness, when you give yourself on over to walking in the darkness, you go back into slavery. The first verse of Galatians chapter 5 should shout out at us. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to that yoke of slavery. When were you enslaved? When were you enslaved and under slavery? That was before you came to Christ. You didn't have a choice. Before coming to Christ, you had a different master. Who was that master? Who was he? That's right. He's really pretty upset that you're not his master. But we listen to him. We listen to him because what we still have is we still have flesh. We still remember what those fleshly and sinful desires are all about. And therefore, he tries to woo us back with whatever is going to entrap us and enslave us. But Christ says, or this passage that by Paul wrote, he says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And therefore, you keep standing firm. You do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. How do we do that? Well, verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Earlier we said, can two walk together unless they are in agreement? You want to walk with the Spirit? You be in agreement with them. How do you be in agreement with them? You flood your soul, your mind. You become very purposeful in the things that you want to do. You do that. So I look up at the clock and I just say, I can't believe the time is just passing by. So what are we supposed to do? Pardon me. Just realized by turning away, having this mic on, you still hear the cough, don't you? And it's just as loud. So excuse me. So we remember what Paul also says to the Colossians in verse 14 of chapter 1. He says that the Lord Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So we have been rescued. We have been pulled away from the grasp of Satan. But with that opposition that we have in our lives, why is it that we struggle so much in submitting or walking with the Holy Spirit? Why is it that we don't think that we can have victory when the Lord says in his word, and this is the word of God, that we can have victory? What really are the desires that we have? I had mentioned a moment ago that when you love someone and when you think about maybe those who are married here, you know, you may not have a list of rules that you follow. You know, like your wife may not have said, if you do these things, this is how I know that you love me. And maybe it's a two-way street. You know, I don't know if any man here, if you did give your wife a list of rules, well then, you know, your man card could be taken away from you at any moment. But anyway, you know, like we don't need rules. We know what those that we love would like us to do, and we follow and we do that out of love. So, in order to walk with the Spirit and to develop training to do that, you know, you probably want a law, don't you? You want to know, well, how does that look? How does that look in each other's life? You know, so if I were to say, well, this is what you must do so that you can demonstrate walking in the Spirit. You know, you get up 3 hours before the crack of dawn and you read a couple of chapters and then you start praying and pray for at least an hour and a half, and before you go to bed, another hour and a half, and you do this and do that. What have I just given to you? I've given to you a law. You know, but that's what we want. We want a simple checklist. This is how I walk by the Spirit. But that's not how it is. If he's given to us already his Holy Spirit that is always with us, he's with us all the time. You know, we just really need to develop a consciousness that we don't have to succumb to temptation, although we will sometimes. But we don't have to do that. We need to remind ourselves that we are involved in a struggle. Does that sound like anything that Paul might have said earlier in the book of Galatians? Well, I guess it does. You know, like, we do know that if I walk by the Spirit, I will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And how do you kill the flesh each day? You know, like, do you think of what it says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, and gave himself for me. Realizing God's love for each of us and the love that we say that we have for him helps us to really walk in the Spirit. There's another verse that I think is pretty important, pretty key. If we can find it. I like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I think that this would be a good time for me to read that. To me, this verse, 2 Corinthians 5, is a good life verse. Begins at verse 14. Maybe I should say life verses, because it's 14 and 15 together. Think about this and listen to this. This is the first time that you're really thinking about this verse. See if this is something that you could claim for yourself. It says, for the love of Christ controls us. Controls us. Having concluded this is what we conclude, each of us, that one died for all, therefore all have died. You know, do you see yourself as dead to sin? Well, we're supposed to be dead to sin. Remember, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. We are supposed to be dead, but we keep on going back as if we are still alive and we are still under the mastery of Satan. But we all have died. And if he died, Jesus died, if he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Do you see yourself as really living for Christ? That's really what we need to set our mind on, and we need to purposely make decisions like that each day. So we go out like the Galatians did. We go out every day. We're in the world, even at home. At home, that can be such a worldly place. It could. So we're surrounded by things in the world that are really trying to take us away from holiness. The Holy Spirit wants us to raise ourselves up as being the most important, where it's really our life for Christ that's really very, very important. And we need to, by the Spirit, we need to be overcomers. And we can do that because of the Holy Spirit that really has been given to us. You know, how we submit to the Spirit is going to look different in each of our lives because we are different. We are each unique. How we allow the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest itself each day can look so different. When I gave that example before, someone may say, wait, right, he's up 3 hours before in the morning, before daylight, pray, read the Bible and everything. You know, if you are a night person and not a morning person, I would say don't follow that suggestion. You know, like, it's good to maybe ask somebody, well, what do you do? What do you do to help you in your growth and your walk? Well, but get suggestions, but don't take things as the law. The Lord is going to work in you in a way that is all about his grace. He wants you to live for him, but we are different people, so it's going to look differently. don't compare yourself to what somebody else is doing, but just look for someone to develop the fruit of the Spirit in their life. So we take a look at these things. If you give yourself over to the flesh, we see quite a list of things that we need to avoid. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like that, of which I forewarn you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of those practices of the flesh, desires of the flesh, are against others. It's against others. You know, they're very personal. You know, some of them we just say, oh, yeah, I can remember when I did some of those things, but hopefully those days are past. Hopefully they are past, but the desire still may be there. But then it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing mentioned is love. And again, you know, we have to see that when people are walking by the Spirit and they have the fruit of the Spirit, which begins with love, we also are going to be enjoying fellowship with others. In 1 John, we saw how important fellowship is to God. And we don't want to turn off that light and walk in darkness. Well, similarly, fellowship is very important when we are walking by the Spirit while we are enjoying fellowship. And who are we enjoying fellowship with? We're enjoying fellowship with God, and we also enjoy fellowship with one another. I cannot enjoy fellowship with any of you if I have thinking that's going on in my heart and in my mind, that is what has been listed, things like that even, which covers things that were not even written down, that are sinful desires of the flesh. The flesh wants a law. I had mentioned that, and you had agreed. Somebody had shouted that out. So we compare ourselves to others. Pride always is one of those sins of the flesh. We like to be very prideful people. We like to think of ourselves more holy than we ought to be. We don't want to follow a list of holy rules. We also know that there are those that are going to try to say, I'll tell you what, let's look at this passage and let me give you a list of rules. And that's what happened to the Galatians. People were coming into the church and they were telling the Galatians, you want to know something? You do need to keep a law. You really do. And you want to know something? When the Judaizers came in, they said, you want to know something, guys? Every one of you, every last one of you Gentiles, you better get circumcised too. It's keeping the law. When you do that, God will love you even more. You know, it's the old snip, snip, oops, type of thing. Paul was really upset about that and said, you don't want to know something? I wish that those Judaizers would even emasculate themselves. He was so upset about that. Legalism, you'll find, always kills. It always kills the spirit, and it also enslaves people. But the end of this passage in chapter 5, I think will also be an encouragement to us in closing. It says in verse 24, 25, and 26, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We took a look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That is something that you need to answer yourself. You know, have you crucified the flesh with its passions and desires? And how do you do that? You do that because you desire to walk with the Spirit. That's it. And you try to, above all things, protect your heart, as it says in Proverbs. Protect your heart. Crucify the flesh. How do you do that?
It's going to be different for you than it may be different for me. But you do desire to walk by the Spirit and you crucify the flesh. Verse 25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit.
Remember, our walk matters. And by keeping in step with the Spirit, we stay in fellowship with God and with each other. We want to have sweet fellowship one to another.
One of the first things that God said, the golden rule, love God and love others. A lot of the things that are fleshly demonstrate not only a lack of love for God, but also a lack of love for one another. That interrupts our fellowship. Let us not become conceited, and let us not go around provoking one another and being envious of one another. What we really should do is encourage one another, brothers sharpening others, other brothers, sisters sharpening other sisters in godliness, encouraging us to walk by the Spirit, walk in the light, avoid the darkness,
and serve the Lord every day with our life.
Going to sing a song, George?
I'll pray as you're coming on up.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you can speak to us through your word. Your word is the living word. I would even say that because you have given to us the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to help us, we have everything that we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus, including the power of the Holy Spirit that has been lavished upon us since the time we came to know you in a personal way. May our lives count for your glory and your honor. We pray in Jesus' name.